This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today.
I want you to understand the difference between right desire and wrong desire. Because desire is there in every living entity. We all have desires. The game is what desires should we have, and which desires are beneficial, and which desires are detrimental. It's stated by the spiritual masters in the line of Vedic literature that one should accept that that's beneficial and reject that that is detrimental. So we have to identify the categories of our desires, because what we see is unrestricted desire simply leads to frustration. And we have to categorize so that we know when we're making advancement and when we're not. Without proper education, you don't know when you're going the right way and when you're not. Because this material world is the material world of duality. There is good and bad, up and down, right and left, right and wrong, hot and cold, all the different dualities. So on this platform, we have a confusion that is natural conditions that we're living within. So the sadhus of this Vedic literature try to give instruction of how you can discriminate between good and bad activities, beneficial and non-beneficial activities. Now, material desires in general, desire to have money, desire to have possessions, desire to have fame or to experience and touch, taste, sensual things, in general is not beneficial because of their temporary nature. Yes, some satisfaction, some enjoyment is necessary. That is not rejected in the Vedic knowledge. But for that to be the goal of life and the only thing that you do is try to fulfill material desires, that is rejected. That simply leads to frustrations and suffering. So what are those activities that are actually worth fulfilling? And those activities fall into the transcendental category. Transcendental meaning those things that are not of this material world. And that means to develop your transcendental spiritual knowledge. That means to associate with spiritually minded people. That means to act in such a way that you're doing something for the satisfaction of the spiritual master, or something directly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. In the Vedic literature, it gives 9 processes of devotional service. And the first and most important is to hear. But what are you hearing? You're to hear the transcendental subject master. The transcendental subject matter is those activities and pastimes that are enacted by the Lord, either previously or currently. To understand the nature, to understand the qualities of the Supreme Lord's activities is an important responsibility for the living entity, and it's a purifying method. So that purifying method should be accepted. And these material desires that are unchecked and selfish by nature are to be rejected. Now, a person with broader intelligence, who may be full of material desires, or who may have very few material desires, or who simply wants to be liberated from the miseries of this material world, is instructed by the Vedic literature that he must, not should, must, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is how one becomes successful, purified and successful. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is described in all the Vedic literatures as the Supreme Personality. It is the Lord only who can award liberation by absorbing them in their thoughts of transcendental activities. Now, the Lord's bodily effulgent rays are called the Brahmayoti, and they are not separate from the Lord, as the glowing rays are not separate from the sun. So one who desires to merge into the supreme impersonal Brahman effulgence must worship the Supreme Lord. It is as it is recommended in the Vedic literature. This is Bhakti Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga is especially stressed here as the means of all perfection. It's stated that the Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal of both those who are full of material desires and those who are trying to become intelligent. And in the same way, it is declared that Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal of the different varieties of worship that the living entity can adopt. Bhakti Yoga thus brings the supreme means of self-realization. And it is recommended in the Vedic literature at every stage. Everyone must therefore seriously take up the methods of Bhakti Yoga, even though one aspires for material enjoyment or if he aspires for liberation from material bondage. Now, one who has no material desires is unique. The living beings naturally, being part and parcel of the Supreme, has a natural function to serve the Supreme Being, just as the parts and parcels of the body or the limbs of the body naturally serve the complete body. So desireless means, therefore, not to be inert like a stone, but to be conscious of one's actual position, and thus desire satisfaction only for the Supreme Lord. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī, one of those spiritual masters in the line of the Vedic wisdom, has explained what desirelessness is. It means that one should only feel happy by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. This intuition of the living being is sometimes manifest even during the conditional life as we're experiencing now. During the conditional stage, such intuition is expressed in the matter of altruism, philanthropic activities, social activities, and by the development of those less intelligent persons, they reflect their tendencies in those social mundane ways. So in the mundane field, such an outlook of doing good to others in the form of society, community, your family, country, or humanity in general, is a partial manifestation of the original feelings in which a pure living entity feels happiness by the happiness of the Supreme Lord. Now, the desire for one's own satisfaction is fully exhibited in the material world, whereas the desire of spiritual satisfaction is fully exhibited in the spiritual world. So, thoughts of becoming one with the Lord, or being merged into the Brahman effulgent energy of the Lord, can also be exhibited in the external spirit. If they are desires for one's own satisfaction to be free from material miseries, but the pure devotees do not want this liberation so that he may be relieved from the miseries of life, even without this liberation, the pure devotee is aspiring for the satisfaction of the Lord. So we have to have a broader outlook. People with desires for material enjoyment worship different grades of living entities, from highly placed humans up to the demigods administrators of the universe. And such intelligence is condemned in the Vedic literature. It is the intelligence of one who's lost his senses. No one could obtain any result from demigods without getting sanction from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, a person with a broader outlook can see that the ultimate authority is the Lord, even if what you desire is material happiness. So under the circumstances, one with a broader outlook, even with the desire for material enjoyment or the desire for liberation, should actually take to the worship of the Lord directly. And anyone should worship the Lord with great expediency. So this implies that bhakti yoga may be perfectly administered without any mixture of material desires. As the unmixed sun rays are very forceful and therefore potent, similarly, unmixed bhakti yoga of hearing and chanting may be performed by one and all, regardless of their inner motivation. So this means that wherever you may be on the ladder of spiritual progress or self-realization, you will derive the most benefit by reviving directly, immediately, your direct personal relationship with the Supreme Lord. For revival of that relationship is natural and has the most potency. Just like the direct sun rays are more potent than those rays coming through clouds or a window. Similarly, you get the most benefit by directly satisfying the Supreme Lord than you do by satisfying any intermediary. So the Vedic wisdom goes directly to the best method. They're not prescribing going through this or that gradual process. They're saying, no, this age of Kali Yuga is so dangerous and so full of faults that one should take the direct means. We need to evacuate. It's not a matter of let us move to the other side, move out of this area. It's evacuate. Leave immediately. That is the situation. This material world is becoming more dangerous every day. So we don't have time to wait and see. We don't have time to form a personal opinion. We have to take the opinion of the authorities, the Vedic literature, and the chain of spiritual masters who are saying this is an emergency. You should evacuate your material desires, evacuate this material world, and use the best methods, the best and direct processes, urgently. So this is our situation. But because we've become used to it, habited, and everyone else is going, crisis, what crisis? We tend to take too long to do anything. Even in our material activities, particularly here where we are now, everyone is so lethargic. Simply going from television program to television program. Simply going from Monday morning, go to work, to Friday night, go get drunk. Not actually realizing that this cycle or any other cycle, these activities or any other material conception, is simply a waste of time. We must go directly to the processes enunciated by those realized souls and given in the Vedic literature to revive your consciousness by worshiping the Supreme Lord directly, urgently. Start now. There's no need to take the ladder to the top of the building or the stairway to the top of the building. Get in the elevator and go. And the most direct processes enunciated in the Vedic literature is to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord and the transcendental activities of the Lord. That is the direct method. All other concepts take so much time, so much realization. Sometimes they take many, many lives. But we need to make advancement and we need to be successful in this very life. The Vedic literature teaches in this age that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the prescribed method from the authorities of this universe, from the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, that the living entities can derive all benefits and have total success by chanting the holy name of the Lord. This method has been empowered in this age by the incarnation of the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya brought forward, the chanting as a method of purifying the consciousness and the atmosphere and all others in proximity as the direct, most powerful method of achieving love of God. That love of God that the yogis and saints and sages strive for years to achieve by meditation and yoga and worship can be achieved immediately by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this is the great boon of this age of Kali. The age of Kali Yuga is filled with errors, filled with dangers, filled with inequalities. And all of this can be overcome immediately by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. It is the positive alternative consciousness for this age. They talk about the age of Aquarius. That age of Aquarius is when the chanting of the holy name came to the material world as a tangible method. It was empowered and delivered to the living entities for their own upliftment. Directly. The upliftment from material illusory conception to transcendental perspective of life. It is available now. Hearing the chanting. Participate in chanting. And the more number of people you join together, the more power the mantra takes on. The mantra is not a material thing dependent on material activities. It is a transcendental potency that is unlocked by hearing it and chanting it. All we need is to try. You have a tongue, you have ears, you can breathe. All you need to do is chant and hear. And the dirty things of the consciousness fade, melt away, so that you can return to your particular level of understanding that makes you actually eternally healthy, happy, and whole. The spiritual world is where all the living entities who've been successful in this method are residing. This material world is where all the living entities who have yet to figure it out or find the Vedic knowledge are looking. And it's, again, it's paralleled like the animals walking through the desert looking for water. It's not there. The intelligent animal leaves the desert. The fool dies in the desert. Don't be fooled by this material world. We see so many people are dissatisfied. Marriages are breaking up. Households, families don't stay together. People wandering from place to place, spending so much time drunk. Drinking. I noticed on the recycle day how the recycle bins are full of wine bottles. Only 1 week has gone by, but a whole recycle bin is full of wine bottles. Oh yes, there's no problem. The person's holding down his job, living his life in society, doing his normal things, but he's drunk, trying to drown the anxieties and the sorrows. This material world has those features in it. The method is not intoxicating yourself. The method is to make contact with the spiritual potency through the chanting of the holy name, and those things, intoxications, aren't needed. They're superseded by something superior. The transcendental sound vibration of the holy name. People are taking this type of intoxicant, this type of cure, this method of relief from anxieties. Some are taking pills, some are drinking, some are smoking, some are injecting, some are doing all sorts of methods to try to relieve the anxiety. That's what's going on. Everybody's self-medicating to try to find some standard of less anxiety. But they didn't think that the method of medicating could be a sound vibration. But the Lord thought that. That was the quickest, easiest, most powerful, direct, universal, beneficial method is a sound vibration that enters the ear, that is vibrated by the tongue, that focuses the mind. And the potency is far greater than the smoking, drinking, pill-taking methods that everybody is adopting. that all have negative side effects. In general, they all shorten your duration of life and dull your mind and senses. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra purifies those dulled senses, purifies the mind and intelligence, and removes the dirty things from the heart that have accumulated for many, many, many years. None of your self-medicated methods will do that. But this Maha Mantra is so empowered by the creator of the mantra, by the all-powerful Supreme Personality, that this mantra will penetrate any layer of illusory conception, will replace any type of self-medication you're using. The spiritual master's instructions are no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Those four things contaminate your consciousness. And this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra purifies you to the point you have no attraction for those things. Everyone now is spending all their time in those things as their refuge, as their satisfaction, their enjoyment. But it's all temporary and it's all frustrating. So the spiritual master comes and he teaches you, accept this chanting. And stop these four activities. No illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, or intoxication. Four don'ts, one do. Chant the holy name of the Lord. Similarly, you should read the Vedic literature and associate with transcendental personalities. These are the do's. And eat spiritually potent food. Four do's, four don'ts. And the inclusion of the chanting. And what happens? The person loses taste for this material world. And he loses attraction for these four pillars of sinful life. And he becomes fixed, purified in consciousness, fixed in activity, satisfied at heart, and uplifted in momentum. He's experiencing real life again. So this method of becoming self-realized, prescribed for this age, is extremely potent, far surpassing any artificial intoxicant you can come up with. So it's spiritual life. Spiritual purity is far more potent than material inebriety. So as a living entity, we are required, we are instructed, we are encouraged to take shelter of the Vedic literature under the instructions of the spiritual master. This method is so powerful, many, many living entities in the past have achieved success on this path. And there are many people who are working on. There are billions of Hare Krishna devotees on the planet. Not so many in this country, because they're still lost in misconception of material advancement. But as more and more people wake up, they find there's real, tangible benefit in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. They're not sitting back trying to enjoy some intoxication and misappropriate activities. They're following the wisdom of the authorities, and they're tasting the benefit and reaping the rewards of a higher conception of life. This is what we're supposed to be doing, striving for the highest level we're capable of. Are you working to the maximum of your potential?
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.